Let's just take this moment together. Holy One, all of us need a word to fill us, to sustain us, to send us out into this next week. And so we ask that you open our ears, that you help us to hear what it is that will fill us. Amen. So let me start by putting us all on the spot with a big question. Why are we here? And I don't mean why we're here in the grand scheme of the cosmos. I'm not going to try and answer that question. I'm talking about in this room. Why are we here in this church? Why did you come here this morning? Why do we gather week after week? If I were to ask you to put it into one word, why are you here? What would that word be? First word that comes to your mind. I'm going to invite you to just shout it out. Why are you here? One word. Okay, wow. You have a ton of words. Okay, so you, Elizabeth, you said community. Someone else says recharge. To recharge. Someone else says fellowship.
A glowing feeling.
Hugs. Community. Unity. Amazing. From the choir, a word, any word. First word that comes to your mind. Music. Yeah. We're in this church season right now called Epiphany, and it's about insight, it's about understanding, it's about the aha moments that remind us of our whys in life, the why behind what we do, all of our actions, our best lives, living here as people of faith, why it is that we do what we do. In this season of Epiphany, all of the stories that we hear, right from the beginning of January until we get to the season of Lent, they all focus on the why behind what we do. All of the stories follow Jesus. They follow him as he's beginning his ministry and as he's beginning to articulate that answer for himself. Why am I here? Why do I get up every morning? Why am I engaging in this ministry? We've heard some remarkably inspiring words from our readings, just from today, the words that Judy read. What are we all about here as a church? Loosing the bonds of injustice, letting the oppressed go free, breaking every yoke, sharing your bread with the hungry, bringing the homeless poor into your house, not hiding yourself from your own kin. And then we heard the words of Jesus, what are we all about here as a church community? We are about being the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Salt was a preservative. It adds flavor to food. Light lets others see. As people of faith, what we're called to is to be people who transform life around us. Like salt, like light, we're about being agents of transformation. That's what we do. But the question for today is why? Why do we do it? One of my advisors in my DMIN program recommended this book to me. It's from the business world, he said, but don't write it off. It's called Start With Why, and it's by an author named Simon Sinek. And his premise is that it's really easy for people to talk about what they do and for organizations to talk about what they do. And we heard that in our readings today. What you do, well, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. But it's harder to articulate why. Why is what inspires us? Why is what fills us? Why is what gets us up and out and engaged in the world as salt and light? And that's a harder thing to put our finger on and to really put into words. What does a teacher do, for example? Plans lessons, gathers materials, teaches, lectures, illustrates, grades assignments, but why do they do all this? Because they want to create a better world through thoughtful future leaders. What does a grandparent do? I know many of you are grandparents. The what of your grandparenting looks kind of boring sometimes. You know, you're babysitting, you're managing sleepovers, you're helping your kids to cook and clean, you're taking the grandkids on outings, but why you do all this is because you want to create a better world through children who grow up knowing they're loved unconditionally. What did Jesus do over the course of his ministry? He transformed the lives of everyone with whom he came into contact. He was salt. He was light. Everyone about whom society said, they're a lost cause, just ignore them, Jesus declared them worthy of a second chance, of healing, of redemption. What Jesus was about was transforming life. He was an agent of transformation, like salt, like light. He said, blessed are you who mourn, when everyone else said, they're just sad over there. He said, blessed are the meek. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Remember all the stories about Jesus, about what he did. Remember the story of him teaching in the temple. The local leaders bring a woman to him who's caught cheating in the act of adultery, they say. You know what the law says, Jesus. We're supposed to stone her. And here's what Jesus does. He says, let those of you who are without sin throw the first stone. Jesus was about transforming lives. Remember the story about the woman who was subject to bleeding for 12 years. She was ostracized, considered contaminated, a lost cause. She touches Jesus' cloak, and he says, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. What Jesus was about was transforming lives, giving a second chance, declaring people worthy. The story about Jesus in the synagogue, there's a man with a shriveled hand, it says, a lost cause, he can't work, he can't support himself, and Jesus makes his way toward him, heals him. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, the local leaders say? But Jesus is about transforming lives, that's what he does. And so he says, if any of you has a sheep and it falls in a pit on the Sabbath, would you not take hold of it and lift it out? What we're called to do as people of faith is to be agents of transformation. That's what it's all about. That's what Jesus did. But today I'm interested in why he did it. What was it that inspired him? It's important to articulate the why, because we too are called to live as Jesus lived, to be agents of transformation, to do what he did. But that will be much easier if we can articulate why it is that we're called. This past week, I went to a musical at my son's high school. It was Fiddler on the Roof. And it was an amazing production. And I found it, as I was sitting there watching the musical, I found it surprisingly relevant to our question today. How many of you are familiar with the story of Fiddler on the Roof? Like, a lot of people, right? As I was watching it, I realized, you know, this is a story about someone who is learning to articulate their why. And it's not what they expected. If you don't know the story, it's set in the late 1800s. The main character is a guy named Tevye, And he lives with his family in the village of Anatevka in Ukraine. And when we meet him in the prologue of the musical, he's gazing at this strange figure of a fiddler on the roof. Tevye's life as a member of the Jewish faith in that place and that time was prescribed by certain traditions, actions, and practices that brought balance and meaning to a precarious existence. Without our traditions, Tevye says, our lives would be as shaky as a fiddler on the roof. Tevye believes he does everything he does because it's tradition. Why does he, as the father of the family, scramble for a living, feed his wife and children, say his daily prayers? Tradition. Why does his wife try and make a proper home, a quiet home, a kosher home? Tradition. Tevye has 5 daughters, and it's up to him to ensure that all are properly matched with husbands. Why? Tradition. Tevye believes he does everything he does because of tradition. But as the musical progresses, he realizes that he actually has a different why. He has a different motivation. In a musical that's all about relationships between partners, between children, between parents, neighbors, local authorities, one of the most profound relationships on display is between Tevye and God. He is in continuous, organic conversation with God throughout the narrative. Tevye talks to the Spirit, talks to the divine like a best friend, like the most intimate companion. Tevye believes he does what he does because he's loyal to traditions, but in fact, he does what he does because he's loyal to and in a relationship with God, with the divine, with Spirit. And what this ties him to is compassion and mercy and love. What he does over the course of the musical is inspired entirely by his why, by his relationship with the divine. He arranges a match for his eldest daughter, but she won't accept it. She's in love with someone else. But we made an agreement, Tevye says, and with us an agreement is an agreement, tradition. But his daughter counters, is that more important than I am, father? And the divine tugs at Tevye's heart, compassion. I can't believe my own ears, he says, when his second daughter simply announces her engagement. We're not asking for your permission, she says, only your blessing. Tradition demands Tevye forbid them. But look at my daughter's eyes, he says. She loves him. He's discovering that his why isn't actually tradition, it's his relationship with the divine, which keeps calling him to deeper compassion. His third daughter elopes with a Russian soldier, and tradition demands that he disown her, never speak to her again. But just as she's leaving the village forever, he breaks his silence because, again, his relationship with the divine is tugging at his heart. God be with you, he says. It's worth reminding ourselves in this season of epiphany, in this season of aha and aha moments and understanding of why it is that we're here. We know what we're about, but what's our why? What are the deep convictions that affect what we do and how we live, the belief behind our action? I believe we're here because, like Tevye, we're also in a similar relationship. When I was 9 or 10 or 11, I actually can't remember the age that I was, but I remember this experience. I was in my United Church, the one that I grew up in, with my family. It was an intergenerational day, which meant no Sunday school. We had to sit with our parents for the entire service. And it was they always said it was going to be kid-friendly, but it never felt like it was kid-friendly. I was sitting there, and I prepared myself for total boredom. I had my daydreams ready to go. That was going to sustain me through the sermon. But then something else happened. And I don't know if it was in the words of the prayer or if it was in the music of the choir or the words of the preacher himself, but I really felt God's presence with me in that service for just a moment. It was, as Anne said, that warm, fuzzy feeling, that warm, glowing feeling. I felt that at the end of the service, and I knew without a doubt in that moment that I wasn't alone in life, that I wasn't facing my suffering, my challenges alone, that I was in a relationship. It was the beginning of a relationship that continues to this day. It's a relationship that holds me, but it's also a relationship that compels me. Whether I feel like extending myself or not, it compels me, this relationship with the divine, to be salt in whatever way that I can, to be light. The words you chose to describe why you're here at the beginning of the service, unity, community, music. I think there must also be something deeper to all those words. I think all of them point to something more ultimate, something that is holding them all, something deeper, the relationship which is the why behind all of our actions, behind our gathering, a relationship maybe. God is with us, and that's why we're here. Amen.